This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
All right, lots to get to with our next guest. Some breaking news that we just told you about. I don't know if Terrence Owens is accurate, but if they are, it is an interesting shift and a change for UFC fans and UFC properties going to NBC Sports and ESPN. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Sean Alshadi, senior editor of MMAFighting.com, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Sean, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And I know this is new, and it just broke, and I don't know if I believe Terrence Owens or not, but some of the things they're reporting out of this, not that the ESPN-NBC split is all that shocking, but let me just start with the six pay-per-views a year. We've heard for a while now that the UFC wanted to limit and drop down the number of pay-per-view events they were doing to avoid what happened this past weekend in New York, where you could have a whole card be upended at the last minute if somebody gets hurt or can't make weight or whatnot. Do you believe that could be on the table, where the UFC is going to cut their pay-per-views way down?
It's hard to say right now. This report just came out this morning, and I think it's still far from done. But personally speaking, I mean, I've always kind of advocated for, especially the past few years, a drop in the pay-per-views, just because, like you said, there isn't enough anymore. It seems like there's a lot. It's a pay-per-view every month the way it is now, and a lot of them, the excitement is very limited. You only have so many big stars, big names that people are willing to spend, $65 on, and especially now this pay-per-view price keeps raising and raising. The pay-per-view business is hurting unless you're, Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey or John Jones or one of these people. And I think it would behoove the UFC to sort of narrow that down and make it so it does feel like it used to, where it's sort of this special event, this big thing that people kind of wait for, as opposed to here's another pay-per-view that it was just won a couple weeks ago.
Interesting. The other thing that they're reporting that I'm not so sure of, and it sounds a little bit far-fetched, but I don't know. They're saying that each network, ESPN and NBC, will have exclusive rights to certain fighters, like HBO and Showtime do with boxers. I don't know how that works, and do you think that that's something that could cause problems down the road? Because the UFC is always known for making the fight that fans want. Are we potentially having conflicts as to what network gets what fight and what fighters?
That's a tough one, because again, that's really just based off this one report. That's sort of the first I've heard of that type of setup, so I can't comment too much on it, but I would be surprised if that's sort of the agreement they entered, considering sort of the way their business works. I mean, guys work themselves up from, prelims to as it is now, a Fox Sports 1 card to maybe a Fox card, and then they become sort of this pay-per-view guy that is always going to be on pay-per-view. So I'd be surprised if the next deal limited that, because that's kind of the ladder, the evolution that we've sort of developed.
It's really an interesting report. I don't know if it's truth or not, but if half of it is true, there's some big changes coming very soon to the UFC and the way that fans are consuming and watching their product. So just again, if you're joining us, ESPN, NBC, supposedly, reportedly, from Terrence Owens, $320 million a year, $160 million each. That is a pretty big chunk of change from WME IMG. I'm sure if that is accurate, Sean, that's going to help their bottom line, isn't it?
Certainly. I mean, they spend $4 billion on this industry, and I don't think that that it was really what they expected it to be. They bought it sort of in the middle of one of the best boom periods in history, where we're coming off, Diaz McGregor. We're heading into McGregor Alvarez, and UFC 200 had just happened. Like, they had bought it, and, Ronda Rousey's return was on the horizon. They had bought it when this was just so red hot. And then I don't think last year played out at all how they expected it to. So if they could recoup some good money in this deal, I know that was something they're really, really hoping for.
Well, one of the guys that they thought they were going to have on their roster for a long time is Conor McGregor, and things have kind of gone off the rails here for Conor when it comes to what happened at New York and what he's facing here going forward. And, from a UFC standpoint, what should be the appropriate response to what Conor McGregor did in the bowels of the Barclays Center?
Well, an appropriate response would be something that I don't know that we're going to get. Because, I mean, if just take any fighter, say if Eddie Alvarez did what Conor did, and caused all of the chaos and all of the fights to drop out and all the property damage, and is facing, you know, charges and lawsuits and such. There's a good chance Eddie Alvarez is going to get cut, just to make, just be made an example of. I mean, that's pretty much any fighter in the company would probably receive that form of treatment. But Conor, there's no way that's going to happen with Conor. The UFC needs Conor. They would know what, there's no way they would let him go. Already, you saw last week, I mean, on Thursday when it happened, Dana White was furious. He was saying this is the most despicable, disgusting thing I've ever seen in the history of the company. And then already by Saturday, his tone had significantly lightened to where, you know, me and Conor have mutual respect. A lot of worse happens in other sports. I'll take a dolly through a window any day. That's so far from a 180 in over a span of 2 days. You can already see sort of the tone softening. I would be surprised if Conor gets anything other than a slap on the wrist, to be honest. I mean, I'm sure he'll still fight this year.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. And the fight that he might be getting himself into is the one that was reported on yesterday that I found to be, and why we wanted to have you on, the idea that Conor McGregor would fight in an octagon against Floyd Mayweather Jr., a fighter who I saw on Saturday night here in Vegas at the Hard Rock at a junior middleweight bout that he was co-promoting. Sunday he goes to Atlanta. He's involved in a shooting, which is, his security guard gets shot at 3 a.m. on Monday morning, and so he had a rather eventful weekend. And then we get the report that Floyd might be able to go into the octagon with 4-ounce gloves and barefoot, but that's about it in terms of having mixed martial arts being involved in here. And essentially you're taking all the jiu-jitsu, all the Muay Thai and wrestling off the table, and you're going to have a boxing match in the octagon. I'm actually really insulted from if I was a UFC diehard, I would be insulted, Sean. I would. I mean, you're and Dana White should be, I think, he'll do it, obviously, but I think there's a mistake to put the UFC logo on this fight because it's not mixed martial arts if it happens. Do you think this report is accurate that these two guys might fight with basically boxing rules and UFC equipment?
No, I don't think it's accurate. I don't Good. Think it's accurate at all. I would be stunned, frankly, if something like this happened because you're right. It's just, it's not. It makes no sense on a lot of levels. And I don't know that how much interest that would really draw because it's basically the same thing in a different bizarre rule set. If Conor fights this year, which I believe he is probably later, you know, November, December, it's going to be in an MMA fight. This Floyd Mayweather story is a story that will not die. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about it for a long time just because Floyd's really good at keeping his name in the headlines. And it doesn't hurt the UFC to have Floyd's name floating around their spectrum while they're trying to secure this TV deal. But if Conor fights again this year, it's going to be in an MMA fight.
If it's Conor in the octagon, who do you think is the most logical opponent? Ferguson, Khabib, somebody else?
I think it's probably going to come down to either Khabib or Nate Diaz. Because now that Conor's kind of freed from the title, they could run the Nate Diaz fight back. That's a guarantee for anybody. I mean, I would watch that. Anybody would watch that, especially now that the top's on the line. You'd feel less dirty watching it. But if you know, there's always a chance that if Conor wants to get that title back, the Khabib fight is the fight to make, and ultimately that's going to be the biggest fight in the history of the sport. With the events of the past week, the way they could build that up, you've already seen it now. The UFC promoting basically what Conor did on Embedded, releasing all his footage. The way that buildup could be, if we could get sort of a world tour situation like we did with Aldo, where you see these guys go in a press junket all across the world and just get into antics, that could really, really become the biggest fight we've ever seen.
What do you make of Khabib bringing up GSP and saying he wants to fight Georges St-Pierre in New York later on this fall? That seemed to be a little bit of a surprise to see him quickly pivot to not Conor, but to somebody else after his win over the weekend.
It was interesting, and actually it was interesting because it wasn't even a pivot. I mean, he was talking about George a little bit before that fight, where he sort of told us, you know, that'd be my dream fight if I had a chance amongst all these money fights. And I think it's two parts. I think one, legacy-wise, that would help Khabib more than anything. A win over George would be infinitely better than a win over Conor, just in terms of legacy and the way people view George. I mean, he's basically a goat of this sport, if not the goat. But also, I think there's an element of gamesmanship to it where, you know, I sort of putting that out there that I don't need you, Conor. I can make big fights with other people to sort of bring Conor a little bit back to the table just to not be as these guys like to use, begging Connor for that red panty night. I think it's a little bit of both. Because if you talk to Khabib's coach, Javier Mendez, he sort of has a plan in his head where they do the GSP fight first, and then they do the Connor fight, and then by that point, they do the Tony fight, and they believe the Tony fight would be the biggest fight ever because they could have really been properly built up. So I believe him when he says he wants George.
Properly built up. I mean, Ferguson, Khabib, five, we're going for it for a fifth time? I mean, my gosh, if there ever was a cursed card, it's when those two guys get on the top of it, unfortunately. Sean, great stuff. Thanks for the time tonight. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
That is Sean Alshadi from MMA Fighting, senior editor. Great SB Nation site covering the UFC and covering mixed martial arts.